an old hippie and he don't know what to do. Should he hang on to the old? Should he grab on to
that one's for Tom Pastorino there.
You know, we've talked about the early spring a lot. What we haven't talked about is it's probably going to be a pretty good fire season as well. And the Arizona Community Tree Council is partnering with, and their FireWise program's free for homeowners, partnering with fire departments and the Forest Service. And they've got free classes for homeowners on creating that perfect fire break around your property in Flagstaff, Florence, Phoenix, Green Valley, Benson, Sedona, Springerville, Payson, Quartzsite. All starting March 26th, actually that's today, in Flagstaff at 9 o'clock at Summit Fire Station number 33. You can go to actc.org. And Florence is today as well. But other ones coming up again all across the state. If you make sure, if you're especially in a rural area, having that fire break around your home, even if you are evacuated,
you're just in time.
Yeah. Let's get to our calls. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Joe in Scottsdale's been on the line the longest with a Chinese elm tree. Go ahead, sir.
How are you today?
Good. How's your elm?
Well, we got all our elms didn't make it. We had about 11 elms, baby sizes that died after a couple years. But we bought a 46-inch one about 2 years ago. And it was dug deep. It was professionally installed. And then about last week, we had a high wind, it toppled over. We stood it back up again. Leaves came out, toppled over again. And we found out there was root bound in the bottom. Now the leaves are not healthy. They look like dried oregano now. And just trying to figure out how, first of all, you can grow a Chinese elm next to a granite mountain, I guess, and how to save this tree if I can.
Well, boy, if it's blown over twice and that you know, that does a lot of damage potentially to a tree, especially if it, you know, disrupted or broke loose some roots.
It did.
How have you secured it once you've straightened it up? Do you have it guy wired?
Yeah, it's wired down now. The first time they wired it, they wired it too high on the stake.
Uh-huh.
And now we wired it down to the bottom. And with the last one we had, it's pretty stable. Okay. Hasn't done anything. But the bad part, the leaves, the fresh leaves turn into, like I said, looks like a dried oregano.
They're out. So everything's crisp.
Yeah.
And that's not a good sign. I would probably go get a jug of root stimulator.
I do have that.
Okay. And treat it with that.
Okay.
For another maybe 30 days or so. If it's going to re-leaf, it's going to do it pretty quick. I mean, this is the time it's going to want to put on new growth. That's really a tough one to say if it's going to actually recover or not. I mean, going over once is bad enough. Going over twice is probably not a good sign. So that's about all I would really know to tell you to do. I'm sorry.
It's a tough thing, but a lot of times you just – it's better to go ahead and start over.
Well, and he's planted such a big tree. It costs a lot of money, mm-hmm. You know, when you start with really large trees like that. So, yeah. But you don't want to wait too forever and lose another year or two
right.
of growth. So,
good luck, Joe. If you need a second opinion or someone on site, you can always call a certified arborist to come out and take a look and see if they can't help you. In your area, we have Integrity Tree Service. So you can find it rosieonthehouse.com or itreeservice.com. Paul is in Buckeye and next on the line. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hi, thank you. I have a question in regards to these little white flies. Mm-hmm. They're eating our flowers up in our flower garden, and I put some granules in there, but it doesn't seem to help it long term. It just for a short time it'll help it, and then those things come back.
Well, white flies can be a real issue. I haven't seen it's pretty early to have white flies, but you're out in a rural agricultural area where they might be more prone.
Right.
The problem with them is they repopulate very quickly. They breed you know, real quickly. They also are very mobile, I guess would be the word. You know, they blow around in the wind from place to place real easily. I would probably get something pretty mild like neem oil and just keep some of that on hand. You can use it almost daily if need be. It's safe.
Neem oil?
Neem, N-E-E-M. N as in Nancy, E-E-M as in Mary. And that's pretty good control for whiteflies, but you have to, you're probably going to have to do it every couple, 3 days.
Those whiteflies are so small, they may never get down to the granular on the soil. They could be up in the trees. That neem oil mist he's going to hit on the leaves.
Yeah, he's going to spray it on them and kill them. You know, it's going to coat them and kill the ones and kill the eggs as well because it is an oil. So if there's eggs on the plant, it can also act that way. So, yeah, might be a little bit better. But you've got to do it. Yeah, pretty often. It's just one of those nasty battles. Years ago, we had really bad whitefly problems here. Hasn't seemed to have been as bad here lately, but well, with the mild winter and early wetness to the winter, we might be in for one.
Let's see how we can help Jim calling in from Red Rock. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I was wondering if there was a new product out this year for treating thrip on roses. I've been using a Bear product that it works, but it's getting kind of expensive because you have to do it quite often.
What, are you using something that's a systemic that acts systemically?
I've tried both the systemic and the spray.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if that there's anything brand new that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But, you know, Bear makes, I know, a rose product. Fertilome makes, you know, a couple of products that are designed for thrips. You know, thrips can be a booger on roses. They're one of the few things that they actually really screw up. I mean, they do a lot of weird things on citrus trees. It doesn't really warrant any kind of treatment, but on roses, a whole other issue. I would probably just change it up. You know, read labels, make sure you're using something that's labeled for use on roses and for thrips. And, you know, maybe do a little change up. The guys that I know that are big-time rosarians, they tend to rotate their products so that they're not using the same thing over and over again.
Now, they may circle back to one they've used in the
past. Oh, yeah, they go back, but they don't, you know, they'll change it up.
Yeah, they do that in big agriculture a lot.
Right.
Just a gene of that thrip can kind of build up a resistance to that if you keep using the same thing over and over and over. So try another one and then go back. I don't know how much you're spending on it or how often you have to apply it.
Yeah, usually those systemic products are pretty long term. You know, they usually are pretty good value because you don't have to do them very often. So, you know, the other thing you got to watch too is how old your product is. If you don't have but a few roses and you've got a quart bottle you bought of something and it's been open and sitting on the shelf for a long time, you know, sometimes they you know, they've gone bad. They're not going to be as effective.
We've got almost every line open with an open line at 1-888. Every line full, but we have an open line at 1-888-767-4348 as we bring Bill in Scottsdale, who's next on the line. Quick text question from Tucson wants to know if they can plant a banana tree.
Well, there are people that grow bananas in places. Now, Tucson's colder than Phoenix, and Phoenix is pretty cold for most bananas. But, you know, in a container up in an atrium area or in a protected spot, you know, two things that really damage bananas, cold, obviously, and then hot, dry winds really make the leaves look bad, if nothing else. So in a protected area, they can be grown, yeah, with some moderate success.
All right, there you go. Good luck. If you get a banana, we want to try it.
I would tell people if it was something that did really, really, really well here, you'd probably see a lot of bananas growing around, but you don't. So that tells you something right there, right?
Bill's next on the line in Scottsdale. Go ahead with your question, sir.
Yes, I have a retaining wall in the back, 6-foot wall, that has stair step cracks in it. And I have on our side three live oaks that have been there 15 years, and it's on the west side, so they give our house real good shade in the summer. But I was just wondering, are those live oaks, because they're slow growing, I'm hoping that it's not causing these stair step cracks in it, or I'm hoping that maybe it's just expansion of that west wall exposure. Are the live oaks roots strong enough to?
Oh yeah, sure.
They are.
Sure.
Even though they are slow growing.
Well, slow growing doesn't have anything to do with how strong and substantial the roots are. They just might get there a little slower.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But,
so how do you? What's your experience in trying to? What do? Dig down and cut off the roots that are pushing on that wall?
There's a couple of methods. That's one. You know, you kind of determine if you can find. Sometimes it's one root, so it doesn't really harm the tree much to actually cut that root, and that will stop it for a while. Then it'll, you know, it may happen again. But that'd be the first thing I'd do, is just go along the wall and kind of dig down and explore and see what you can find, and try that. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of every once in a while you got to get a mason out there and fix the wall. So, you know, sometimes that's not terrible, since it is just, you know, if it's just a yard wall or a wall. Now, if it's structural, you said retaining wall, and it's actually holding something back, you know, then you might, you know, want to look into it a little harder. But check the roots out, see what's really causing it first, and then go from there.
And there are root barrier products that they do make that can help,
yep.
But we've got to determine the size of the root we're cutting out. If it's a pretty critical artery, think of it that way, it'll bleed out eventually.
Well, even if it's one big root, it might still not. Now, it might determine when you want to do that. You may want to do that more in the fall or winter than wait till spring when things are really actively growing to cut it.